Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to talk about negotiating, sales technique. I've been in sales for a long time. When I first got into sales, I sold a lot. I sold my car. I sold my stereo. Because I'm telling you, sales can be the highest paid job in the world, but it can also be the lowest, right? So a lot of the things I'm going to talk about this morning are going to help you in negotiating and selling techniques, because we are in sales, right? We're selling the appraisers, we're selling the lenders, we're selling the buyers, we're selling the sellers, we're selling the tenants, everybody. We're selling the rehab guys. But don't ever take any of these techniques and abuse them, okay? Because some of these are powerful techniques, and they work. But please don't take any of them and abuse them to try to get over on somebody. Always, when you're doing something, make it win-win, okay? First of all, I want to go over my little house seller information form. This is whenever somebody's calling me and they have a house for sale. This is kind of what I go down. Actually, I use a legal pad, but anybody in our office uses this, and I developed this. Of course, I get their name, you know, their address, the phone number. Can you tell me a little bit about your house? First of all, when they call me, most of them are calling off a sign or ad or something like that. Yeah, I was calling about your sign. You buy houses? Great. How can I help you? You know, it's not me calling them, trying to sell them, get them to sell me their house. Whenever the phone rings, you know, they're needing my help, not me needing their help. Is that a better position to be in?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is. So what you want to do is anything you can do to make the phone ring, okay? So when they call me, they say, yeah, I saw your sign about I buy houses. How does that work? Well, we're investors. We buy about 5 to 10 houses a month. We pay cash and we can close in a week. Can you tell me a little bit about your house? Now, is that strong right off the bat? They say, yeah, I got a live one here. So can you tell me a little bit about your house? Yeah, it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, brick ranch. It's over on such and such a street. My very next line after they tell me all about the house is, it sounds nice, why are you selling? It sounds nice, why are you selling? I mean, it doesn't make a difference if they said it needed work, it's vacant. Hey, that sounds all right. Why are you selling? And then they'll tell me, well, you know, I got divorced, or I moved out, or I can't afford it anymore, or I'm behind on the payments, or something like that. What style of home is it? Is it a double wide, single wide, brick ranch? I mean, really, I want to know. And all this is going to come out in conversation, so please keep that in mind. Do you happen to know the approximate value of the home? Now, why would I ask them the value of the home?
They know better.
That's the price.
They're starting. I mean, that's the price. At least in their mind.
It's the price in their mind. Let me tell you why I ask them that. Because I'm going to establish in a couple of minutes that the value of the home has nothing to do with what we're going to pay for it. Okay? They may be asking less than the value, or they may throw that number out. You know, I think it's around 60. My next question is, how did you arrive at that number? What if Uncle Bob, the realtor, told me that's what it was worth? Or what if, I don't know, I just took a guess, a house across the street, they're asking that for it. Well, how long has it been on the market? 2 years? What does that tell you? You know. So, it's worth about $60,000. And I ask them a few other questions. How far behind in payments are you? I don't ask them, are you behind? Then what will they say?
No.
No. If I assume that they're behind, how far behind are you? You know, they're going to tell me. It's always 1 or 2 months. 1 or 2 months, 4 months, 6 months sometimes. You know, occasionally I'll get one, well, I'm not behind. And you can't get it. You can't get every deal. So don't ever make anybody mad or offend them. Just say, you know, based on what you're telling me, you're not behind on your payment. You say it's worth 95. You owe 90. I'm not really sure that I can help you. You're probably looking for the same buyer that I'm going to be looking for if I was to buy your house. So what you probably need to do is sell it to somebody that's going to live in it. I'll be glad to refer you to a realtor or tell you some ads you can run or whatever, but then help you with some financing if you find a buyer. But I'm probably not the person you're looking for. So let me tell you a little bit about what we do. Whether you call me, and this is very, very important here, this is a key line. When you call an investor like myself, whether it's me or anybody else, we're going to need to be around 60 to 65% of what your house is worth. Now, why do I say whether you call me or anybody else?
Well, another shop around.
It keeps them from shopping me, right? Plus, I'm going to call them back until they buy or die. I mean, I've dealt with 3, 6, 9 months before we came to a deal.
Call
them every week. Hey, Jack, how's the wife? How's the kids?
It's Larry again.
Do what?
It's Larry again.
Yeah, this is Larry. How you been? How's the wife? How's the kids? You know, how was that ball game last week? I mean, really, I've met a lot of nice people, you know, doing this. Not bought every one of the deals, but, you know, met a lot of nice people. We generally need to be around 60 to 65% of what your house is worth. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to have to buy your house. We're going to have to sit on it 6 or 9 months. We're going to have to fix it up. We're going to have to advertise it. We're going to have to pay somebody to keep the lawn up, maintenance, pay taxes, pay insurance, pay interest on the money. Because quite frankly, we're looking for the same buyer you're looking for. Only we're willing to wait 6 to 9 months. If you're not interested in waiting, the advantage to you of dealing with somebody like me, whether it's me or anybody else, is you can have your money Friday. So what's the least amount you can take if we can close by Friday? And I don't care what that number is, if they say it's, you know, it's worth 60, if they say, well, I can take 40. Well, based on what you've told me about your home, and we buy about 5 to 10 houses a month, other homes comparable to yours are selling to investors. In fact, the last one we bought, we paid $26,500 for it. And I'll tell them, whatever it is, and I'm not lying to them, if we bought a 3-bedroom brick ranch, which we generally pay in the mid-20s for those, they need about 10 grand in work. Based on what you're telling me, last house we bought and the houses we're buying are in the mid-20s, so that's probably about where we need to be. Is that something you can work with? Well, no, I have to talk to my husband, or I have to talk to my wife. Or it's air property, I have to talk to my brothers and sister. Whatever. So I just tell them what they're competing against. So they know. I put it off on them. In other words, I'm not saying, oh, all I can give you is 25. That's all I can give you. Now, what does that do to them? Puts them on the defensive, right? They don't want to do business with me. Because remember, people do business with people they like and
trust.
People do business with people they like and trust. That's very, 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 very important. Okay? Don't ever make anybody mad on the phone. If you can't help them, give them a little bit of advice, help them out, and move on. You know, always in a good conversation. Okay. Some other questions that I ask them on the call. Whose name is the house in? Is that important? You know, mom left the house to me. Dad left the house to me. Is there anyone else helping you with the decision making? Is that a good question to know? Talked about why are you selling. What will you do if you don't sell? I like that. How quick do you want to sell? Do you have a place to go? You always want to know that. Well, no, I don't have a place to go. Yeah, I can move in. I can move in with mom, or I can move in with my brother. We're ready to go. Then you know you can go for the next Friday close. Right? Here's a good one. I like this one. It's amazing what they'll tell you when you ask this question. What else should I be asking you? Is there anything else I need to know? I mean, they'll open up and tell you all about the house, about their situation, their family, and you know, why the husband left or whatever. They'll tell you all that, and you're taking notes the whole time. Okay? You always want to be taking notes when you're on the phone. Okay? Because you never know how long you're going to keep that lead sheet or that prospect sheet, and you never know why you need to refer back to it. Because if you get in a deal with this and they mention something about a foundation problem, or they mention something about water or sewer problem, and you didn't write that down, and you buy that house, and now you're going to end up paying $5,000. Oh, I told you that on the phone, don't you remember? You know, if you didn't write it down, you got to write down, take good notes. Are there any other problems with the house? I like that question. What will you do with the money? Here's another good one. Do you have any other property to sell? How long has it been for sale? Oh, really? Have you had any offers? Now, what does that let me know? Competition? Kind of their range or how much they're looking at selling it for?
What kind of interest?
What kind of interest? What kind of interest? Have you had much interest in the property?
Larry, go back to the what will you do with the money part, because I think that opens up a whole new creative.
What will you do with the money?
Financing kind of situation.
That's true. That is true. They say just stick it in the bank. Most of them are like, you know, well, I don't have enough equity to do it. You know, there's not going to be enough money, but. I'm sorry, Wendy.
Maybe they need something paid off, or they're willing to something they need that you can trade them for the property.
Absolutely. I'm going to buy a car. You know, some. Yes.
You may have said this. What do you owe on the house?
Yeah, what's your loan balance? I don't have any idea. Approximately. Does everybody know how to use a financial calculator? You can figure up their loan balance if you know what their payment is and their original loan amount. Okay? If you know it's a 30-year loan and their payment is $600 a month and their original loan amount is $60,000, if you have three numbers, you can figure for the fourth. If you know their interest rate, the payment, and the balance, you can figure the term. Or interest rate, payment, and term, you can figure the balance. And then you just go, when did you get this loan? Two years ago. Then you take 360 months, subtract 24 months, the balance, and that's your payoff right there. Right, you guys, sir.
Make sure in their payment they don't include their escrows.
Right. Is your payment PITI? Is your payment PITI just principal and interest, or principal interest, taxes, and insurance? You're right.
I don't know what that means. PITI.
Yeah, you gotta spell it out for them. Yeah, yeah. Do you, in other words, you can ask them, do you pay your taxes at the end of the year, or is it included in your payment? That's an easy way to ask them. So, what will you do with the money? Is a good one. You know, are you going to buy a car? Are you going to go on vacation? I'm just going to stick it in the bank. Oh, really? Well, I have to get a loan on this property. What's the bank going to pay you? I don't know, 1%, 2%, something like that. Well, I have to get a loan on this property. They're probably going to charge me 2 or 3% anyway. That was a joke. They're probably going to, yeah, they're going to charge me 6 or 7%. I'd just soon pay you the interest as pay them. What have you set yourself up for? Seller financing right there. You know, would you rather get 1 or 2% or 7? We were talking about, have you had any offers? If they say yes, the next question is how much? And the next question is very important. Why didn't you take it? Well, I didn't like that guy. He was a jerk. I wouldn't sell him my house for full retail. I mean, I've had people say that.
About
you know, people, not about me. About me. Thanks, Wendy.
Wow.
Yeah, I love you too.
That's somebody that's got job security right there.
After all the nice things he said about her last night.
I guarantee you, she's got more job security than I do. I leave 2 or 3 weeks and come back and nothing's changed. Everything's moving right along. Like, you guys don't even need me anymore, do you? I'm going to go around the country and speak a little bit. Okay, on this form, I have, of course, you know, you want to know if it's vacant, if it's rented, that sort of thing. We buy a lot of properties from landlords. Don't want our landlords. You know, the property's been vacant. Called about one. Mike went and looked at yesterday. Was it yesterday, Mike? Guy called me, it's an attorney here in town, owns it. It's been vacant 3 years. And the guy has a pretty big mortgage on it. Current, paying it on time. But it's been vacant 3 years. He just hadn't messed with it, you know. So we're gonna try to buy that deal. Unfortunately, I think he's gonna have to pay about $12,000 or $15,000 to pay it off. If we buy it. Yeah. But it's about, hey, it's been vacant how long? And how much is your payment? So that times 36 months is how much? So you should have called me 3 years ago, shouldn't you? You should have just paid it then. You're going to pay it now or you're going to pay it later? Okay, and the thing I like about this form is because we call people back. We don't generally buy our deal on the first or second call, okay? 3, 4, 5, 10 calls sometimes. I have five places here. What's the least amount you can take by Friday? First time. What's the least amount you can take by Friday? Second time. Third, fourth, fifth. I mean, all the way. And every time I talk to them, we're going this way. Okay? Every time I talk to them. Sometimes we'll go up a little bit, going back. Okay. If you're doing short sales, you also need an authorization to release. Does everybody have one of those that does short sales? Authorization to release. Okay, let's talk about some negotiating one-liners when you're talking. You guys have heard me say this before, but if you're not embarrassed by your offer, it's too much, right? If you're not embarrassed, it's too much.
Larry?
Yes?
On that, do you think, though, I mean, sometimes I think there are offers that are so low that, like you said, some of the responses you get are, no, I just don't want to deal with the guy. He could offer full. I mean, sometimes I think, and I don't know how you know, you can just thoroughly insult someone by an extremely low offer. Do you agree?
I do agree.
And I don't know how to know when you're talking.
It's all about building a rapport and getting them to like you and trust you first. I try. Yes.
Did you hear him last night? He never made a lowball offer. He was doing these properties usually sell in this range. He never made the offer.
Here's what. That's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up, Eric.
You maybe treat it more as like this is kind of what it's versus.
Based on what you're.
I want to offer you this.
Absolutely. Based on what you're telling me and the houses that we've been buying. You know, when you're dealing with selling your property to an investor, of course the advantage is you can have your money next Friday. However, you're probably going to need to be around $30,000 to $35,000. Is that something you feel like you can handle, or is that something you feel comfortable with? And I don't throw out there and say, hey, all I can give you is $30,000. No. Then they're going to hang up on me, right? They're going to hang up on me. So that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. I like this. I like to ask questions that I know the answer is no to. For example, it sounds nice. Does it have a pool? No? Oh.
It's so funny to hear him.
Does it have a hot tub? No? Oh. Here's the price, okay? Does it have a pool? No? Oh. Does it have a hot tub? No. Oh. Check this out. Is it a single or a double garage? Oh, I don't have a garage.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Here's a strong line, okay? I love this line. I learned this line from Carlton Sheets. When you're negotiating with somebody and you just can't come to the right price, and you simply tell them, you know, I'm looking at two houses right now, yours and one other one. And although I like yours more, the other one makes more sense. Man, that's strong. Now, what did you basically tell them?
You're going to buy the other.
They're asking too much, right? I'm going to have to buy the other one because you're asking too much. But did I offend them?
No.
No, I didn't offend them at all. I like yours better, but the other one makes more sense. Here's another one that I like to use is, we only have so much money to work with.
It's true.
Well, it is true. We only have so much money to work with, and we can only buy so many houses. I'm looking at a couple more right now. If you can let me know in the next couple days, I'll make sure we can go ahead and close this transaction by Friday. If not, it may be 30, 60 days before we can do something. Can you let me know by tomorrow? Just remember, the person who cares the least wins. If you act too anxious, the person who cares the least wins. I've had people call me and call me and call me. Have you been by to look at my house? Are you going to buy my house? Have you been by to look at it yet? Have you sent your guy by to look at it yet? When are you going to call me back? Call me back. I talked to my brother. And I'll not call them back intentionally. Wait till they finally get me on the phone. Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm sorry. I just hadn't got out there yet. I'm doing so much other stuff. Yeah. How are we on the price?
Because
I don't remember. That's right. I'm looking through my notes. I have a file about this thick of, it just says houses. And it's notes that I've taken on different deals. I have to flip through. I like this line right here. If they're trying to pin you down, if you have to know right now, the answer is no. But if I can think about it, it might be yes. That's a good one to do with your kids. Daddy, come on, can I just go here? Can I go here? If you have to know right now, it's no. If I can think about it, it may be yes.
Very good line.
Yeah, it's a very good line for your kids, right? If they're telling you they have to talk to somebody, I understand that you don't have the authority to make the decision. Who do I need to talk to? And then get their number. Never be the first person to mention the price, okay? Never be the first one. Let them start, okay? Let them start. And we're going to start with the By Friday price. That's our starting point. Then we're always going to go down from there, okay? On your offer, when you're doing written offers with sellers and realtors, I guess, put your phone number in the top right corner of the offer, okay? Put your phone number in the top right corner of the offer, okay? What if you're negotiating with somebody and trying to buy a deal and you give them an offer and it doesn't work out and 2 months later they're like, man, I wish I could find that guy's number. Where is that? You know, they won't throw the contract away or the offer, okay? And they'll have it right there on it. So always put your phone number on the offer. Here's one that I like. This is these are some sales techniques from has anybody ever heard of Tom Hopkins? He's a real estate sales guru, teaches realtors. He uses this, it's called the nibble close. It's like you're sitting here talking to somebody, let me pull up a chair. You're sitting here talking to somebody and getting ready to sign, and you got your pen in hand and you're getting ready to sign and say, oh, by the way, that does include the pool table, doesn't it? Well, no, I was going to keep it. Oh, really? Wow. And you set the pen down. Now, what have you done? Man, I don't want to lose this deal. All right, you can have it. Whatever it is, the lawnmower, anything.
Pots
really.
And pans.
Pots and pans.
Kids.
Yeah, kids. Yeah, can I get that lab? That's funny. Does everybody know the good cop, bad cop thing? Good guy, bad guy? Let me tell you how to handle it. I don't recommend playing good guy, bad guy. Although it is okay to say, I'm going to have to talk to my partner. I can't make that decision. I got to talk to my partner. I'll get back to you. Okay? But if anybody ever uses good guy, bad guy, the way you handle that is you treat the good guy as if they were the bad guy. Okay? You get real defensive with them and treat them as the bad guy, and they'll back off and make the other person back off. I'm telling you, it works. It works.
Say that again.
If you're
dealing with a couple and one's good, the other's aggressive, you go after the good one.
And treat them as if they were the aggressive one and they'll back off. It always works. It does. Anybody ever do multiple offers? You know, we can go 30,000 cash, or we can go 40,000 with 10,000 down, or we can go 50,000 with 2,500 down. And you finance. You see what I'm saying? Give them an alternate of choice. That way, and a lot of people like to do that. I don't personally do it. We just make all cash offers as is, close in 10 days. But sometimes if you're looking for seller financing, it's good to give them an alternate choice. One of the three choices is not no. Do you notice that? They have three different contracts to choose from. I'm getting offers. I'll give you as many as you want. Right? I'm looking for offers. That's what I used to tell people when I was selling home improvements. I need to get some prices. I'll give you as many as you want. Yeah, rate. I'll give you as many rates as you want. It's just math, right? Earnest money, who holds it? If we're dealing with the realtor holds it. If we're dealing with a seller, my attorney holds it. Does everybody know that? My attorney holds it. Contingencies, we only put one contingency in the contract, subject to inspection. However, you can sometimes negotiate a little better deal once you get your inspection back. If it comes back and you get, you know, there's a lot more damage than you thought. Sometimes you get down to the end and, you know, it's time to fish or cut bait, basically. So one line I like to use with people is either this is a good idea and we ought to go ahead with it, or maybe we ought to forget it. I mean, it lets them know, hey, this guy's backing off. I don't want to lose him. You know? Either this is a good idea and we should go ahead with it, or it's not and maybe we should forget it. What do you think? And always ask a closing question. Another good question I like to ask is, how far apart are we? How far apart are we? It's a simple line. How far apart are we? You know, I'm not coming all the way up. I don't expect you to come all the way down. How far apart are we? It's pretty soft. Can you close by Friday? Would you like to close by Friday? Can you help me move my stuff out? Would you like for me to help me move your stuff out? Help you move your stuff out? Whatever they're asking, you know, if they ask me a question, I throw it right back at them. I think that's called the porcupine clause or something. You throw it back at them. Would you like for me to? If they have some kind of issue or some kind of problem, what would it take to satisfy you on that? Another good line to use is if they give you a statement, is just say, how do you mean? I got to move out by Friday. How do you mean? I don't care what they say. How do you mean makes them talk more? Makes them open up and say more. Okay? How do you mean? I need to get at least $15,000. How do you mean? Well, I got to pay this off. I got to pay this off. I got to move. I got a credit card. Whatever. Here's a good one. Just suppose that's not a problem. Is there any other reason preventing you from going ahead? If they say, I got to check with so-and-so. I got to check with my brother because it's our house. Or I got to check with my husband. Just suppose that's not a problem. Is there any other reason preventing you from going ahead? That's about it. Okay, thank you guys very much.